Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to start with verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 6. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. These are things that have been turning in my heart, I guess really since maybe last, Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning. So last Thursday morning, and Gabriel, was it Friday that we came early? And then Friday morning, I was talking with Gabriel and my son about these things a little bit, and just stayed in my heart. But Deuteronomy chapter number 28 and verse number 6. The Lord is speaking to his people here through Moses' writing, and he says, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." That's a good thing, isn't it? Verse number 7. "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and shall flee before thee seven ways." Verse 8. "The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto." Well, that's some blessing, isn't it? "And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The Lord, notice who's doing all this. "The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself." Everybody say, "a holy people unto himself." The Lord's wanting to establish that. "A holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways." Everybody say, "walk in his ways." Say that again. Say that one more time. Walk in his ways. Now, we read about a lot of blessing there. We read about a lot of things the Lord said he would establish, the Lord would do, the Lord would perform as it relates to our lives, our storehouses, our enemies, when we go out, when we come in. And he finishes up much of that thought with, "if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways." You want to walk in the ways of the Lord? I do. You want the blessing of the Lord upon your life? Walk in his ways. I want to talk a little bit about that tonight if we can. The word ways that we'll talk about a little bit through some scripture here, we find it means, you search the scripture, you'll find it hundreds, possibly even thousands of times in the scripture. And this word way or ways most often means a mode of life, a course of action or a course of acting or behavior, a way of living, a way of acting. So with that understanding of the definition in Scripture, it could say and have a mode of life that's according to his way. Walk according to his mode of life. Walk according to his course of action. Walk according to his way of living. If we do those things, we find great blessing. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord, don't you? Amen. Now, the Lord has established that. We're not going to read all these scriptures, but if you've read in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you've read about a lot of kings and kingdoms and different rulers over Israel and Judah, right? You read about the names of David and Solomon and some other names like Ahab and Hezekiah and all these different kings and Rehoboam and You can keep going and naming all these different kings. And it's interesting when you're reading through those places of Scripture in the history of Israel, you see these words oftentimes when a new king would be established or would come to the throne. It might read something along these lines, "And King so-and-so walked in the ways of his father so-and-so." And did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or you might read, "And King so-and-so walked in all the ways of his father David." Even though David may have been several generations back. But because this king walked in the ways of the Lord the way David did, it was said that he walked in the ways of his father David. And it pleased the Lord. And you read through those books of history of the kings of Israel and Judah, and you see that repeated again and again. Some of them walking in the ways of the Lord, some of them walking in the ways of their father that pleased the Lord, some walking in the ways of their father that did not please the Lord. Some, it says, "And they walked in the ways of their father so-and-so, and then they did even greater evil." So the ways that their father had walked in simply opened a door where they walked even further, sometimes to the greater service of the Lord. But sometimes, if their father walked in the ways of evil, they walked in even greater ways of evil. And so we see that throughout those books. And think about that when you read those things next time, and you're reading of the history of kings and rulers of Israel, and you're seeing the ways they walked in speaks of their mode of living, their way of acting, their actions that they took. And the Lord had given this word in Deuteronomy. This is after the children of Israel have come out of the wilderness, being led into the promised land, the law being given unto them. And he says, "I'm going to do all these things to bless you if you'll keep my commandments and walk in my ways." Now that's easier said than done, isn't it? Anybody ever find it difficult to walk in the ways of the Lord sometimes? If you're human, it doesn't just come easy, does it? It doesn't just come easy. And so, but we know from the Scripture, and if you've lived for the Lord any length of time at all, you know from life experience that walking in the ways of the Lord brings blessing. Walking in the ways of the Lord brings favor. Walking in the ways of the Lord brings peace. It doesn't mean it's trouble-free. But there's great privilege to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, so we see the Lord commanding this, and you can read in Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 10, you find the Lord talking about that much more. There's a ton of Scripture, and I thought, well, we can't read the whole Bible tonight, or they'll check out on me really quick. But, I mean, really start digging and searching about. And you realize almost every time you see that word, it is referencing a mode of living. The Lord talked a lot about mode of living. Let me just ask you a question. What is my mode of living? Is it established by Him and His ways? Is my mode of living one that pleases Him because I'm walking according to His ways? Is my course of action from day to day one that is in His ways, or is it my ways? One brings blessing. Amen? So the Lord had done this. We see this in the children of Israel established, but yet because they were human, they chose more often than not to walk in their own ways, didn't they? And we saw the results of them walking in their own ways. Walking in their own ways led to bondage. Walking in their own ways led to famine. Walking in their own ways led to pestilence. Walking in their own ways led to trouble. The Lord had told them that would take place. But I want you to watch the appeal of the Lord to them in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And we're going to see a couple of contrasts here tonight, and then we'll move. Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse number 15. Jeremiah was a prophet in captivity. He was often known as the weeping prophet, or he was nicknamed as the weeping prophet because his message was always one of appeal because of the state of the children of Israel that they had fallen into. Look what he says, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? He's talking about the ways, their mode of living. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, or no. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. They weren't even embarrassed by their action. You know, if you and I walk in our own ways very long, we get to the point where that word ashamed there would speak of we're no longer even convicted by the Spirit of God about walking in our own ways. Whereas before I would have been so troubled by the presence of God because of walking in my own way, that once I've done it for so long and just given in to my own way for so long, that now when the Spirit of God deals with me, I don't even feel conviction in that area. That's a dangerous thing. Amen? And that's where we find these children of Israel that he's writing to. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. So what's going to happen? Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. That's the result of continuing to walk in our own ways and not responding to the appeal and conviction of the Lord to walk in His ways. Now, the Lord didn't just cut them off there. He's appealing to them. He's trying to show, hey, here's the challenge. You've been walking in your own ways to the point where when I try to deal with you about it, you're not even convicted anymore. One place in Scripture talks about a conscience becoming seared with a hot iron. So it's past feeling. You become calloused. I don't want that in my spirit. I don't want that in my walk with God. If I begin walking in my own way and I'm not walking in the way of the Lord, I want to stay tender and sensitive so the Lord can deal with my heart and say, hold on a minute, you're going your own way, Joel. I want to pull you back to my way. I want you in blessing. I want to have a tenderness in my spirit that says, yes, Lord, convict me, draw me close, make my ways right according to your will, my mode of living, my course of action. Amen? And so we find this here, but watch verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye. Sometimes there's no movement. Sometimes it's just standing. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Sometimes we have to do that, you know. I found myself praying that here recently. Not in the old past, like I want to go back to the old days. The old paths, the ways that the Lord established from the beginning, His principled paths. Ask ye for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And what's the result? You shall find rest for your souls. But I want you to watch their response because of where they'd gone to. But they said, we will not walk therein. Can you believe that? Can you believe that response to the appeal of the Lord? They said, we will not walk therein. You know why they wouldn't walk therein even after that appeal? They really liked their ways. And you know, the enemy's a deceiver. The enemy is a deceiver. He'll paint the picture of the ways of the Lord at times to be dreary and burdensome and hard, rather than allowing us to see the blessing, the benefit, the promise of walking in the ways of the Lord. And then he'll paint the picture of our own ways, the ways of the flesh, the ways of the drawing of the God of this world, to be fun, filled, fanciful, when really that way leads to destruction, the scripture tells us. I want to walk in his ways. Amen? Now watch this. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. You want to find a lot of discussion and conversation about ways, a mode of living, a mode of action, a course of action. Read the book of Proverbs. It talks a lot about ways, these modes of living. Proverbs chapter number 16. And I think verse 2 is where we start. Yes, thank you, Brother Gabriel. Proverbs 16 and verse number 2. All the ways of a man, that word way is still the same thing, mode of living, mode of life, a course of action, a way of living. All the ways of a man are clean in whose eyes? In his own eyes. Right? You ever had somebody try to tell you, man, you're going a direction you ought not be going? And maybe you respond there, maybe someone else you knew, and they said, no, I know what I'm doing. No, really, I'm okay. I know what's going on here. And you're thinking, man, I'm seeing some stuff you don't see. But it's very hard to convince us sometimes, right, when we've set on our way. You ever heard the saying, man, they are set in their ways? Yeah. It's a mode of living, a course of action, a course of life. Well, all the ways of a man, my ways, your ways, they're clean in our own eyes. But the Lord, he weighs the spirit. The spirits are what motivates our ways. Now let's continue reading. Verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart, he's talking about a way of living, a mode of life. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Men change their ways. How do we change our ways? Mercy and truth, fear of the Lord, causes us to depart from an evil way. Verse 7. I love this verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's mode of living and course of action please the Lord, when a woman's mode of living and course of action pleases the Lord, the Lord makes even mine and your enemies be at peace with us. That's a good reason to make sure I'm walking in the ways of the Lord, not my own way. I want to please him, don't you? Let's keep reading. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart, everybody say my heart. My heart devises my own, devises his way. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know the way that scripture reads to me? If I choose my way, the Lord will direct my steps according to my choosing. Remember that verse we read earlier about even the evil he directs? If I choose my way, he'll direct my steps according to my choosing. A man's heart devises his way, his mode of living, but the Lord directs his steps. Let's read on in Proverbs 16, down to verse 25. The writer said, there is a way, there's a mode of living that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, the writer in Proverbs, and you can read all of chapter 14, 15, and 16 in Proverbs. There's a lot of conversation about our mode of living, our course of acting. The writer here is not trying to curse anyone or rain on anyone's parade. He's trying to get a response and a recognition that, hey, walking in my own way is not going to lead to where I think it's going to lead. My way seems clean in my eyes, he said, but the Lord weighs the spirit. There's a way that seems right to me, but the end of that's the way of death. And so how do I find out the way that's right? I have to look to the Lord. I have to ask him for his way. I have to seek his direction, seek his instruction. Lord, I want my mode of living to be directed by you. That's why you and I need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because in my own humanity, I cannot walk according to the ways of the Lord. And so when I'm filled with the gift of his Spirit, I can then be led by his Spirit. And the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into all truth. I want his ways, not my own. Where do we go next, Brother Gabriel? I'm trusting you based on the order I put on that page. I think we went to Ezra. Yes. Ezra chapter number 8. I was reading Ezra on Sunday, and this verse just gripped my heart, I guess because the Lord had been dealing with me about these things the last 4 or 5 days prior. Now, understand Ezra. These are the children of Israel. They're coming out of captivity. They're going back to do a work in Jerusalem to rebuild. And they're a little nervous. They're a little unsure about what they're embarking on. They know the Lord has directed them, but they don't have a big army. They probably feel a little bit vulnerable. And so here they are, and they're moving that direction, Ezra taking the lead there. And watch what he says. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. That word afflict doesn't mean beat ourselves up, by the way. That word afflict there means to humble ourselves, to bring ourselves in subjection unto the Lord. So I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Here's why they were doing that. This is what Ezra called the fast for. To seek of him a right way for us. Now, this word way, he was looking for a direction that they should take. But if you look at it in Hebrew, it can still imply a mode of living, a course of action. And he said, he proclaimed a fast, and they afflicted themselves there before God to seek of him a right way for us. But notice he didn't stop there, and he said, and for our little ones. I read that, I thought about all of our kids in class. And for all of our substance. When's the last time that you said, you know what, we're going to spend time fasting and praying and seeking the face of the Lord today. I want to make sure I'm continuing to go the way he wants me to go. I want to make sure my mode of living, my course of action is one that's still pleasing to him. Now, it's interesting to me, just as a side note, that word Ahava there, the river of Ahava, that word Ahava means to subsist. Subsist, of course, just means to continue to live, to have life. When you look at and you read Ezra and you understand the context of where they were, they said it was interesting that by the place where they decide, you know what, we're pausing right here. One thing we are going to do, we're not going to die. We are going to continue to live. And so because we have know we're going to continue to live, we're going to seek the face of God for a right way for us. We're going to seek the face of God for a right way for our little ones. Walking in the ways of the Lord is critical, not just for you and I, but for the generations that follow us. Where we reference 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and all of those books of history with the kings walking in the ways of their father, walking in the ways of their father, and some walking in ways of evil, some walking in ways that please the Lord. We see a product of one generation choosing the ways of the Lord, it impacting the path of the next generation. Don't think for a moment mine and your mode of living doesn't impact the mode of living of our children and those in the next generation. There's a saying that I'm told comes from the Oregon Trail, that when they traversed from Missouri toward west, that they said to them often, "Choose your rut carefully, you may be in it a while," in their old wagon trains. Now, rut can have a negative connotation, but they were talking about, hey, you're going to be in that for a while. You better make sure you choose carefully. You understand, in this walk with God, we're talking about eternity. I want to walk in His ways. I want my mode of life to please Him. I want my course of action and my daily living to please Him. Because the Word is full of evidence and promise that it's filled with blessing. Well, what do I do when my mode and course doesn't always please Him? How do I get back on course? How do I get my ways out of the way so I'm walking in His way, so my mode of life is not my own pursuit but is His? Well, there's some scripture for that too, and we won't exhaust the subject, but let's go to Proverbs again, chapter number 3, I believe. Brother Gabriel, is that right? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6. Why don't you read that with me? In all, in which one? All. In all of your mode of living, you mean like if I'm just hanging out with my family and we're going to the mall? Yep. In all of your mode of living, acknowledge Him. On the job, in my free time, in the privacy of my home, in the public arena, in all thy mode of living and course of action, acknowledge Him. And when you and I do that, what happens? He shall direct thy paths. When I acknowledge Him in all of my mode of living, then all of a sudden I find He begins to direct me in His ways, His paths. Next verse, Brother Gabriel. Glad I put them in order for you. Amen. I got a jumbled mess on this piece of paper. Proverbs chapter 16. I know we've read this already, but I want to come back to this verse that we read through when we read this chapter. We're talking about, well, what do I do? How do I get, if I've sort of fallen into the rut or the trap, if you will, of going my own way, how do I make a course correction? Or if I'm walking in the way that I should, how do I make sure that I continue walking in his ways? Well, we read in Proverbs 3, one way. Here's another in Proverbs 16. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Now, that committing of your works there, it literally says in the Hebrew, commit to Jehovah whatever you do, all of your actions. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Commit to Jehovah whatever you do, all of your actions unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. You know, when I'm walking in my own ways, it's sometimes hard to have my thoughts established. And the Scripture let us know that would be the case. James chapter number 1, verse number 8 shows us the other side of this. James 1 and 8, the writer said, a double-minded man is unstable in which ways? All of his ways. So when, okay, today I'm thinking on the things of the Lord, but today my thoughts are on where they shouldn't be. And today my thoughts are on the way, but now my thoughts, and so a double-minded man, the Scripture says, is unstable in all of his ways. But if I, can you go back one verse there, Brother Gabriel, what we just read? But if I'll commit my works, I'll commit all of my actions, the things that I do unto the Lord, my thoughts will be established. Then I'm not at risk of being a double-minded man and having instability in my ways. Amen. I want to walk in his ways. The Scripture shows us how and ways that we can do that. Go to the book of Job, chapter 23. Praise God. Finishing up here. How many of you know the story of Job, or at least some of it? Raise your hand. You've heard of Job, poor Job, all that he went through, the struggles, the tests, the losing of his family, his everything that he had except his wife. And went through some stuff, didn't he? He went through some stuff. How in the world did Job make it through? Well, we know early on the Lord had a hedge around him, but we know it didn't take long. The Lord took the hedge away. That's why he lost everything. So after losing everything and the hedge of the Lord being removed, how in the world did Job even make it? You know, there's times in our walk with God where it can feel like, man, I don't know which way's up and which way's down. That's when sometimes you got to do like what we read earlier, stand in the way. But watch what Job said when he was facing this. He said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. He's talking about the Lord. He's trying to walk and be in the ways of the Lord, but he's not there. And I go backward, but I don't perceive him. On the left hand where he works, but I can't behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Sounds like a quandary, doesn't it? It is. Watch what he says in verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. That literally says he knows my mode of living. He knows my course of action. He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. How can he say that so confidently? Verse 11. My foot hath held his steps. Whose steps? Notice the Lord didn't say, Job didn't say, my foot has held my steps. He said, my foot has held his steps, and his way have I kept and not declined. You want to walk in blessing? You want the favor of the Lord on your life? You want to have your enemies even be at peace with you? Lord, let us walk in your ways. Let our mode of living and our course of action be directed of you. I hear the psalmist David penning the words and praying the words or singing the words, order my steps in your word. So what happens when I lose my way? Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way or his mode of living? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There is no better source of finding the way of the Lord and walking in his ways than taking heed to the word of the Lord. I want the word of God in my heart. It's the reason the writer said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What does he mean, sin against thee? He's talking about his mode of living. The word becomes a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That sounds like a way, doesn't it? The word is those things. And so at times, and it happens, life comes along and we get caught up and we, without even knowing it, we start pursuing our way, right? Because a man's way are clean in his own eyes. The way seems right to a man. And so how do I keep myself in the ways of the Lord? How do I keep myself in the path I'm supposed to be? The word is how my steps become ordered in his ways. Now, we could go back to James again. We won't tonight. But I've got to do more than just hear the word. I've got to be a doer of the word, James said. Amen? I want to be a doer. I want my ways to be established according to his will. Don't you? Amen. One other passage of Scripture, John chapter 14, verse number 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's why we're choosing to walk in this way. That's why we want the mode of life that pleases him. Because we're going somewhere. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, watch what he says, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither you go, and how can we know the way? You ever felt that way? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, when Jesus said, I am the way, obviously we're in the New Testament, so it's in the Greek, not the Hebrew. It's not speaking of a mode of living. Can still speak of a course of action, but it, literally when Jesus said, I am the way, he was saying, I am the way by which one passes, with whom all who seek to approach God must enter into closest fellowship. That sounds like a safe way to walk in his ways, don't you think? If I'm in close fellowship with him who is the way, amen. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Lord, I want my mode of living, my course of action, my way of living, my way of acting. I want it to be your ways. Come on, would you talk to him about that tonight? Would you talk to him about your mode of living? God, in all of my ways, in all of my mode of living, let me acknowledge you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, where I read in your word that you were seeking to separate us unto yourself, a holy people, you were appealing to a mode of living, a lifestyle that aligns with your will and your ways, a life that is separated unto you, O God. Let my mode of living please you. Let me not be deceived by my own thinking, but I pray, Lord, to acknowledge you in all of my ways and know that you will direct my path. Let your word, O God, be a cleanser, that the ways are ordered according to your will, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, as a church, lead us in your ways. Let our mode of living and acting in our community and in these cities, these valleys, O Lord, let it please you that even the enemies would be at peace with us, that your blessing would rest upon us, that the will of God would be wrought in this day and this time in which we live, O Lord. Order our steps according to your ways, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you read the word ways in many places in the New Testament, it means almost the same thing as the Old, but it translates a course of conduct, a way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Isn't that interesting? A way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. A course of conduct. I want the Lord to be the one who chooses my course of conduct, don't you? I want the Lord to be the one who chooses my way of thinking, who chooses my way of feeling, who chooses my way of deciding. Amen? He wants to do that in every one of our lives. He really, really does. Praise God. Would you thank the Lord with me one more time tonight? Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises of your word that do not fail. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your long suffering toward us, and your great grace that enables us. I bless you tonight, Father. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Greet someone. In the name of Jesus, we're going to baptize a couple people tonight in Jesus' name. We're excited about that. We are looking forward to that. And we're going to baptize them the way everyone in Scripture was ever baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We just believe what the Scripture teaches. These three are one. There was only ever one person in the Godhead. The only person in the Godhead is Jesus Christ. God's not a person. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is not a person. It's not called the Holy Person. It's called the Holy Spirit. The only person in the Godhead is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, one. His name is Jesus. And so we baptize according to the Scripture And the way everyone in Scripture was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we're going to do that tonight with these two young ladies. We're so honored and thankful to do that. Privileged to do so. So God bless you. Greet someone. We'll let them get ready. We'll get ready, and then we will baptize them. Amen. God bless you.